So, seeking the kingdom of God. Andrew has introduced the topic to you, I know, and spoken of the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. And my intention this morning is quite simply to develop that idea just a little further and to ask this question: how do I seek the kingdom of God? How do I seek it? The choice of words in that reading from Matthew chapter 6, Jesus' words there, are quite interesting. Seeking a kingdom. It can almost sound like something out of a fairy story, like this. Like this. Thank you. No, it's okay. It's all right. Pay attention. Pardon? Okay. It won't reach that far. Yeah. It can almost sound like something out of a fairy story, you know, when in days of old, when knights were bold, and when they rode on their great white chargers looking for a castle on a hill, seeking for a kingdom of some sort. So I thought it might be helpful just to... You probably know this, but I'm going to tell you it anyway. What is a kingdom? So just in case your mind leads you to this sort of a picture when you think of the kingdom of God, that it's something, it's a place somewhere, I just like to disassemble that picture for you. How should I think of the kingdom of God? I would suggest you start by not thinking of it as a place. The gospel is not talking primarily about the kingdom of God as a place to find. I say primarily because, as we shall see in a moment, there is a place when in the future we shall see and experience the kingdom of God in all its perfect fullness, but I'll get to that in a moment or two. Let's begin by thinking of the kingdom of God as anywhere where the king is king, or where the king reigns, anywhere where the king reigns. Now, that shouldn't be too difficult for anyone who is a British citizen. We have a queen. It's unfortunate that she's not a king, because it would make this a lot easier. But she's a queen. We have a monarch. If she was a man, she would be a king. She is Queen of England, Queen of Scotland, Queen of Wales, Queen of Northern Ireland, even if the Scottish don't want it. Anyway, she's also a queen of a number of other countries. Recently, about a month or so ago, or a couple of months ago, I was in Poland. And although she is most definitely not Queen of Poland, she was still my queen when I was there. So in whatever part of the world I travel to, she is still my queen, because she reigns over me, not over the geographical area I happen to be in. Mm. In other words, I'm part of her queendom, okay? Or let's switch away from that now. I'm part of her kingdom. I'm part of her kingdom. You could say that wherever I go, her kingdom goes, because she's my queen. Now, that's quite helpful, actually, for understanding this. Probably not quite so easy for people that live in countries where they don't have a monarch. But for us, it's reasonably easy to understand this concept, because it helps me understand some of the things that Jesus said about the kingdom of God. Things like Matthew chapter 12 and verse 28, where Jesus said, "The kingdom of God has come upon you." Well, if it was like that, that would be a bit of a weird thing to say, wouldn't it? That the kingdom of God has come upon you, sort of landed on you. Or in Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, the kingdom of God has come near. And the Apostle Paul says things like, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. And the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20. So, if we understand then what the kingdom of God is, the rule of God, the reign of God, wherever that happens to be, how do we seek it? So that's the next question, which is, when I nod my head, hit it. Now, how do you seek a kingdom? So why am I saying all that I've said just now? It's to help us understand that the kingdom of God, or shall we say, the kingly rule of God, is something that we can experience here and now as his Spirit comes into our lives and affects the here and now. At this point, I should say that there is a definite sense in many of the things that Jesus said that indicates that the kingdom of God is something we shall experience and live in all its fullness, at some time in the future. So he often talks in those terms of entering the kingdom of God, and eventually we will be in the kingdom of God. And there's a sense, though, even though that's in the future, there's a sense in which that future event has an impact upon the way we live now. Okay? There's a sense in which that time, although it's in the future, as we look forward to it with great expectation, it should shape the way we live now. So I think someone read that scripture about the fact that the time will come when the earth will be destroyed as it is, it will stop being as it is, and at that point Jesus will return and the kingdom of God in all its fullness will be established, a new heaven and a new earth. And in the light of that future event, what sort of people should you be? How should you live now? So there's definitely a sense of it being a future thing that impacts the way that we live our lives in the present. So in one sense then, we are seeking for it. We are looking forward to it, and that shapes the way that we live our lives now. However, the kingdom, the kingly rule of God, is also something that can be in us now. The kingdom of God, Jesus said in Luke chapter 17 and verse 21, he says that the kingdom of God is within you. Okay, so we have the rule of God. We can have the rule of God in our lives day by day. Not just some sort of theory, not some sort of abstract concept, but actually the rule of God governing our lives, shaping the sort of people that we are. So when he talked in that passage in Matthew 6 about the things that we deal with day by day, what you wear, what you eat, he's saying, look, first of all, just make sure that God is king in your life, and you can be sure that everything else that you need will be supplied. I don't think that means that those things are nothing to do with the kingdom of God, because they are. But what he's saying is, but as long as you're making sure, as long as you're seeking the rule of God in your life, you can be sure that everything that you need, he will supply as your king, as your Lord. So when Jesus talks about seeking the kingdom of God, and when he taught us to pray, your kingdom come, he's not just talking about, you know, the castle on the hill sort of thing. He's talking about Lord, rule over me. Rule over my life. Rule over that situation and that situation. Lord, let your kingdom authority intervene in those places and in those situations. He wasn't just talking about us asking for that future event to happen. He was also telling us to pray that in all manner of situations and ways, the kingly rule of God would be seen and experienced. So as we were praying just before in our intercessory prayers, we're praying on a personal level, on a national level, on an international level, that God's kingdom would come. Yeah. That he would do the things that only God can do.
Yeah.
That he would intervene, that he would step in, that he would take charge in those situations. We want to see God intervening and changing situations by exerting his rule and authority in those things. So if that's the case, if that's what we want, how do I seek it? Well, I would say we should be seeking it deliberately and passionately.
Yes.
So we can become, as Christians, we can become very passive about these things. You know, we sort of rest in the sovereignty of God and just sort of say, well, whatever will be, and you know, God's in charge, that's okay. Actually, that's not what Jesus taught us. He told us to seek the kingdom of God. He told us to be active in asking for the kingdom of God to come. So when his disciples said to him, how can we pray? Jesus is effectively saying, well, do what I do. When I pray, I come before the Father and I say, Father, please let your authority rule, let your will be done in this situation. When this person comes to me who's sick, or this person comes to me who is dying, when this person comes to me who's impacted or demonized, when these people come to me with strange arguments against the gospel and so on, Father, intervene. Father, step in.
Yes.
When he stood in the boat that time, and the storm came, and the winds came, and the rain came, and he stood up in the boat and he said, be still. That was the kingdom of God coming.
Mm.
That was the rule of God. It came, and God spoke and intervened, and the waves stopped. When he stood outside Lazarus's tomb and said, Lazarus, come out, that was the kingdom of God. That was the rule of God. It was the word of God. It was the authority of God intervening in that situation and raising Lazarus back to death, to life, sorry. So how do we seek it? Well, we seek it like Jesus sought it. We pray. And I'm sure that as some of the things that you do in order to seek the kingdom of God are going to be covered in this series on the kingdom of God. But let me just mention a few things. Obviously, praying. We need to pray. God has told us to pray. Jesus has told us to pray. This is one of the reasons that I'm really sorry that I've not been able to come to the Sunday night series so far, because it looks really great and I really enjoy listening to Steve talking. But we have a prayer meeting in our church at 6 o'clock on a Sunday evening. And we're in a position as a church at the moment where we desperately need to see the intervention of God in a number of situations. And it's a priority. You just think, this is it. We've got to do this. We have got to seek the will of God. We've got to ask for his kingdom to come and for him to intervene. So there's praying, there's fasting, which is something that you're going to talk about sometime later on. And fasting isn't just, you know, like going on a diet. You know, fasting is saying, this is more important than that.
Mm.
So you can fast from television. You can fast from all sorts of things. You can put other things aside and say, no, this seeking the kingdom of God is more important than that. Sometimes it's not sleeping. You know, giving up a few hours to pray in the night or in the early morning And it's sacrificial. But it's saying, God, I am passionate about this. I am deliberately seeking your rule and your kingdom. So, what are we doing then when we're seeking the kingdom of God? We're not hunting for something that's hidden. At Easter time, we had an egg hunt in our back garden. We have a number of young grandchildren, and two of them were with us, plus a couple of other friends, I think. And I'd gone around the garden and hidden the little chocolate eggs all around. And so we said to the children, okay, there's enough there for, I think it was four each. Okay, so there's enough there for four each. So when you found your four, if you find any more, that's for somebody else. Okay, so off they went on their hunt, except for the youngest, who's 5 years old now, and she just stood in the middle of the garden because she'd worked it out that once they'd found their four, they would be finding her four. So she just had to stand there and wait for them to get her share. Clever little thing she is. She comes out with some classics. No, I won't go into that here. So, you know, grandfather moment there. But so when we're seeking the kingdom of God, it's not like an egg hunt. We're not looking for something that's hidden, but neither are we to be passive about this and just say, well, it'll happen. You know, if God wants it to happen, it'll happen. If he doesn't want it to happen, it won't happen. I'll just stand here and wait and see what happens. And we've been told to seek it, to seek the rule of God, to seek it deliberately and passionately. Jesus is telling this group of people in Matthew 6 and elsewhere that they can find or experience the rule of God. They could see it in the things he did, healing people, forgiving people, delivering people, working miracles. And more than that, they, his disciples, could experience and enjoy the rule of God in their own lives. So not just seeing it in others, but finding it in their own lives and circumstances. Seeking his kingdom. I've been debating in my mind whether to do this next bit, but I'm going to do it. And you'll have to understand me. But let me tell you about my week. This week that's just gone. I just wanted to tell you what my week was like this week. So, last Sunday morning, I was just part of the worship band. I was just sat down and playing my guitar and singing next to the pianist or whatever. Someone else was leading. So, that was lovely, time of worship. And then I had to preach. So, I did my occasional preach on that morning. Then it was my turn to lead the prayer meeting in the evening. So, that's what we did. On Monday, I went to a day-long seminar on helping people with dementia. So I had a day of that. And then in the evening, I went with two other people to deal with a pastoral situation, which is very, very difficult. And then the following day, I spent some time with a man who has recently been bereaved. In fact, his wife, on one of the Sunday evenings we came here to lead worship, stood up and gave a testimony. Mm-hmm. She went to be with the Lord a month ago. And that's been sad. You know, really important, significant person in the life of our church. And her husband, she was diagnosed with cancer a year ago. And at the same time, he was diagnosed with early onset dementia. So I'm spending time with him, trying to sort of help. That's why I went to the seminar, because I'm trying to work out what the best way that I can help this friend. The next day, Julie and I went to visit a lady in our church she and her husband were on holiday in America, in New York, visiting their son a month or so ago, and her husband fell over, broke his neck, and died. And they had to get him back here and all that sort of stuff. And we were sat talking with her and comforting her in some way or other. And then on Thursday, I stood in the ITU unit in Wexham Park with a family as they turned off the life support of their husband and father. And then Friday evening, we were singing songs at an Alpha Supper. This has been quite a week, and I just want to say it's not a typical week for me. It's an exceptional one, and the reason I toyed with whether to say it or not, because I'm not trying to impress you. What I wanted to say was, because this is just my up-to-date testimony, is that on each of those occasions, on my way to those things, whether it was leading worship or leading a prayer meeting or preaching or going to a seminar or dealing with a pastoral issue or speaking to someone who's bereaved or someone that's experiencing dementia, or whether it was standing with that family as their hearts were breaking, or whether it was singing at the Alpha Supper, on my way there, I'm saying, Lord, let your kingdom come. Lord, come, please come into this situation. Please speak into this. Please help these people. Help them to know that you're there with them. Help them, when I say to them, as I've done on a number of occasions over this past month, the word of God says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're with me. Lord, let them know that. It's not just my words, but let them feel that. Let them know that your kingdom is coming into their lives and into their circumstances. Now, the reason that's not a typical week. And all of us go through challenging times, I know that. And it's emotionally and physically exhausting going through those sorts of things. But most weeks, it's just a normal sort of routine week, isn't it? Just mundane stuff that we do. But what I'm trying to say is, don't save up your prayers for the kingdom to come for those desperate situations. Make it a practice that you ask him in every situation, in your mundane routine lives. Be praying. Lord, let your kingdom come. Mm. Let your rule. Lord, let your rule come into this situation, into my daily work, into my conversations with my neighbours, in the ordinary stuff that I'm doing. Lord, I want, even though I know it's probably going to be just routine and just ordinary, Lord, be in this. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your rule come. And of course, when we turn on our TVs and we read our newspapers, we see some of the stuff that's happening in the world, and we just, what can we say except, God, please, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. You know, when you look at the earthquake in Mexico, and what pictures on the television of those buildings just collapsing like that, you know, knowing that there are people inside those buildings. And seeing these, that was it, 400,000 refugees coming out of Myanmar into Bangladesh. And you see that, and does it have the same effect upon you? I look at that and I think, I have no idea even what I'm meant to pray. I don't know what to pray. It just seems like pathetic for me to just be saying, help them. But that's all I can do. Maybe I can send some money or something, but I can pray this because this is what Jesus has told me to pray. Lord, let your kingdom come somehow. We may never hear how, but Lord, please intervene. Do the stuff that only you can do. Let your kingdom come.
Amen.
So my conclusion is to say to us, to you, to me, again this morning, we're not alone. When we came to know God through our Lord Jesus Christ, he sent his Spirit to be with us and in us. And he is not there just to reside. He's there to bring the reign of God, the kingly rule of God, the kingdom of God into every aspect of our lives, both the unusual and challenging situations and the mundane and routine. And not just in our personal lives. We can intercede for others. We can pray for our nation. We can pray for our government. We can pray for other nations and peoples and for our mission as a church, for your mission as a church. You can pray for the kingly rule of God to come in Seer Green. Lord, let us see something of your impact upon the people in this community. We can pray for the kingly rule of God to be over us as a church in everything that we do. So our prayer is, Lord, let your kingdom come.